Okay, so let's get started with the afternoon session. And we have a presentation from Mr. Rob Hoggarth from ICANN on the GNSO toolkit implementation. So over to you, Rob.
Thank you, Robin. Since looking around the room, there's about five people, including council members of the GNSO, who heard the full presentation about the toolkit. Rosemary and Avery had suggested that I do a more targeted presentation and that we try to have a discussion that focuses precisely on what the NCSG might like to do, what the NCUC might like to accomplish in terms of the toolkit. So that's the approach I'm going to take. I've modified the slides slightly. I'll just skip over areas that folks could attack and say, oh, yes, let's talk about that. But in general, I'm going to try to focus on those areas where we might need to have some additional discussion or to help you guys in terms of thinking about what services you want to request and what the processes for those would be. Just by way of quick background for those of you who aren't familiar with it, the toolkit came out of the concept of the desire of the ICANN board and the reviewers who conducted a review of the GNSO, that there was a real important interest in lowering constituency costs and fees. Now, that was across the board. From your perspective, I don't think the NCSG or the NCUC charge any fees. But the concept was, to the extent that there were financial issues, to the extent that there were contributions being made, to do what was possible from ICANN's perspective to provide some in-kind support or in-kind assistance that would help to moderate or reduce those costs. What was very interesting to me, going back and reading through the process and reading through the documents, was this concept that I have up on the screen in the second bullet, that ICANN must find ways to foster free participation across the community. The toolkit is one of the efforts to achieve, I think, that concept and that goal. The toolkit menu items, there are 11 of them that were approved by the GNSO Council just about a year ago. And there's a variety of them in terms of support for working groups, support for stakeholder groups, and support for constituencies. Of the 11, there's only one that's really focused directly on working groups, and that's the first one, this concept of providing staff support and information. That one is really being focused on more by the working groups and is something that's already provided by the staff to working groups. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. But this slide and the next slide really just talk a little bit about what the general list is, and I'm going to skip to the individual items. This is a slide I added just to let those of you who aren't familiar with the process generally, that on the 15th of November, the staff shared an implementation report with the GNSO Council and leaders of the various stakeholder groups and constituencies. That's posted at that link, and it's literally the top item on the GNSO Council webpage right now. It'll probably be there for a while. What the document does is it itemizes all the toolkit menu items and gives you ideas about what's available, what's not, and the processes for asking for those services. And this is really going to be something that the individual leadership groups of the NCSG or the NCUC will really be focusing on. Of the 11 items, 6 are immediately available, 4 require some further discussion, and 1 is not being made available at this time. And you'll see those as I go through. I'm skipping number 1, as I said, because that focuses on working groups. The second one is providing face-to-face meeting support. Right now, that's focused on our ICANN public meetings. So the support that sits here, all the AV, the telephone, the remote participation, all the work that Glenn did working with Avery and with you, Robin, getting the meetings ready and prepared. The critical aspect of this one that I think is important to bring to your attention, because I've had individual discussions with a number of you, is although right now the service is offered for ICANN face-to-face meetings, there's no limitation that it be to these venues. And although there wasn't budgeted money for FY11, as you think about what your submissions and ideas will be with respect to the FY12 budget, give some thought to what other potential meetings there might be. A number of folks have raised the issue of potential regional meetings or intersessional meetings or things like that. And although, and I indicate on the slide that right now the toolkit doesn't consider necessarily travel funding or other things, if there are common meeting locations, if there are concepts like IGF or ISOC or something where you know a group is going to be gathering, you might want to consider making some comments or submitting some thoughts to the FY12 budget process. One of the issues where this came up in particular was the observation that in ICANN's management of the contracting function, they have regional meetings a couple of times a year intersessionally between ICANN and the registries and registrars. And from a staff perspective, you'll read in the report, there's some consideration that perhaps those would be a model for meetings of other groups within the GNSO for opportunities to develop policy or to meet on other items that are with respect to GNSO business. So I point those out as just sort of a highlight in an area that you may want to consider or think about. An item for further discussion that we discussed generally at the GNSO Council meeting was the concept of preparing minutes for formal meetings and teleconferences. And this becomes an issue of individual style for the NCSG or the NCUC. Right now, the GNSO Council gets full-blown minutes that the Secretariat prepares. Working groups get this concept of action item reports generally where the staff prepares, okay, Wad was here and we talked about these action items, and they're reporting the nuts and bolts of the decisions and what took place at the meeting, but they don't go into the full-blown minutes. In an era where we now have transcripts for most discussions, where we have MP3 files, what we're interested in getting feedback from you all is whether you see the need for full minutes or whether these other activities and these other resources are going to be enough for you. So something to think about and consider there. This is a fairly easy one, assisting volunteer leaders to identify and schedule liaison contacts within ICANN. The Secretariat's already providing that, so that exists today and is available to all your leadership teams. An area that has potential room for some substantial discussion is the concept of website hosting and content maintenance. I don't know where you all are on that philosophically, but most of the staff resources this fiscal year have been focused on developing the new GNSO website. But going forward, the issue is whether there is an interest among the various communities to provide website support. I know some of the web resources that you all use are donated or people, you know, devote their time and volunteer efforts, and that's something you may want to maintain. What we're hoping to do, and I'll talk a little bit later about a checklist that Glenn will send out to all of you, is getting some feedback on that. Because if we find that this is something that the community is already performing, then perhaps we can redirect resources to other areas where you're going to find, you know, value and additional support. But this is an important area because if we do go down this road, there, as you probably know, some substantial commitments, not necessarily in dollars, but in staff support and things like that. Providing grants and funding is in red because, well, for two reasons. One, when the BGC recommendations came out, and when I say BGC, that's short for the Board Governance Committee. They had a special working group on GNSO improvements. They developed these recommendations and said, look, and essentially the text said, in-kind assistance as opposed to direct financial aid. But as we've been going through the potential implementation on this, both as staff and in talking with other members of the community, people have expressed an interest in potentially substituting some of the in-kind services for direct grants. We don't have a process or any thought as to what that would specifically look like, but as you begin to see some of the challenges, and this was mentioned in the GNSO Council meeting, of hiring additional staff or finding new procedures, Some believe it would just be cheaper and more efficient for ICANN to say, here's the pot or pool of resources money-wise. You know better how to operate your own internal activities. You take it. We have to figure out a way to account for it or to identify what certain items would cost, but essentially just to give the individual stakeholder groups and constituencies the resources to go out and make their own decisions, because you might have better ways to manage it or to focus some of those. A number of people, and I'm sure Robin and Aubrey have already experienced this, and Rosemary, you in a small way, when you find out what really goes on in terms of doing all the administrative work of supporting a
The speakers are back.
They're back. That was quick.
Sorry. Go ahead, Rob.
But when you look at the challenges of doing all that administrative work just to get the agendas, pull everything else together for meetings, there's a substantial amount of work that many folks don't really anticipate initially. So how do you balance that? A couple of the stakeholder groups over the years have hired secretariats. Now, they've done that out of their own fundraising and fees or dues charges, but for groups that may not have those resources or the same pool of people to pull from, some sort of grant or funding mechanism may be a way to handle that. The message that I'm sharing with you today is, as you look at the FY12 budget process, that again could be an area of potential requests or for funding or things like that. And as you get visited by Juan and Kevin in Akron this week, and they talk about that process, my understanding is that as those requests sort of funnel up through the leadership of the SOs and ACs, that may be an area you all want to discuss and consider. Another area for some substantial ongoing discussions, again, if you all are interested, is the concept of organizational record keeping. The counselors know that they approved in early August a new chapter of the GNSO operating procedures, which outlines the various best practices and guidelines that the council hopes and expects the individual stakeholder groups and constituencies will observe in terms of keeping records and keeping people apprised outside of your community as to what's going on. But the operating procedures don't define how that happens. And again, to the extent that the NCSG or the NCUC is interested in getting staff support, we want to talk about how we could do that. The goal would be that if there are a number of different stakeholder groups and constituencies who are interested in getting support for organizational record keeping, we'll get a group together to talk about what should the format look like. Are there areas of commonality that would make it easier? Because if we're going to devote staff to that, it's going to be much easier to manage a single template or a layout as opposed to, you know, four or five different ways of doing that. So the to-do, I think, for your leadership or for you all generally is to discuss whether you think that that's something that you want some support on. Same goes for this concept of member contact information. The BGC report recommended looking into a number of areas. The work team that developed the recommendations that the GNSO Council ultimately approved identified mailing lists and membership data support as areas that the community wanted additional support on. But as we got into the details of how this might actually be provided, the actual implementation, we came up with many, many questions. There are already existing concerns about privacy and how you maintain information and how people share it and with whom they share it. And the bottom line is we didn't want to delve into that, one, if people didn't want the support, if groups didn't think that was necessary outside your own community, and two, you know, it would be something that, again, would require us to get a larger group together so that we could have some common way of handling it. Now, this toolkit item also takes place in the context of broader ICANN discussions, and those of you who are familiar with the at-large community have already gone through this, and Alan at the GNSO Council meeting also noted this, the real challenge of identifying a system, getting some commonality and organizational and community buy-in in terms of finding the actual products that can provide this type of support. And if, in fact, there is an interest in GNSO, is there also interest in the CCNSO and the at-large community and others? At some point, there is a value in ICANN as an organization creating some true umbrella type of database or system. And then, this goes well beyond my technical capabilities, figuring out what the best way is for managing access and how you keep certain people from seeing certain information. And so this is an area that requires substantial more discussion, and the key if is if there is an interest. Now, a component of menu item 9 that you may want to take advantage of is, the concept of mailing and discussion lists. Those of you who are involved in GNSO working groups and task forces are familiar with the email archives, so that you always have a resource to go back to see discussions, so that people who are not a member of the community can go and see what happened. That's available now. And so if you're interested in also cranking this into your stakeholder group or constituency operations, that's something that through the request to the Secretariat you can get almost immediately. Item 10 is a no-brainer, producing MP3 recordings. If you want to avail yourselves of the capability of telecommunications and the rest, then MP3 recordings will be a part of the package. One of the toolkit menu items that I jumped over at the beginning of this presentation was telephonic meetings. And we set aside in the FY11 budget, working with the IT team, an additional supported one conference call meeting per month on average for each stakeholder group or constituency, along the lines of what the GNSO Council gets now. So in other words, you get a bridge, you get Secretariat support in terms of setting it up, it comes with the live operator and all the rest. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a question on this point. First of all, thank you so much for a lot of these services. Particularly these phone call services, just providing the telephone bridge has been an amazing thing for our constituency and stakeholder group to be able to be on the phone together internationally. I mean, that's been a really big help, so thank you. But I also wanted to point out that we try to hold those calls in conjunction with the GNSO meetings. So either the day before or maybe 2 days before, so that, and the idea is the counselors who have motions pending that week on the council can have feedback and discuss the issues with the membership during those calls. And those calls are actually more like once every three months. So that's really the only point I wanted to raise, is that once a month wouldn't quite meet the need, mm-hmm. but it's a huge help.
Thank you. And that's where, when the FY12 budget is being pulled together, we need to make adjustments in that. As I shared, and I don't know how much detail, I can't recall that I got into at the GNSO Council meeting, we tried to pick just what would a standard call look like, and I don't know how closely you fit this profile. We figured about 15 people on a call for 2 hours, and averaging somewhere, I think, around 15 or 20 cents a minute on average. Now, if you're in the U.S. and you're using a toll-free number, you're basically not paying anything, but a feature of the service is the ability to dial out to members who may be from communities or using mobile phones, who can't dial into the bridge or can't, access an 800 number or whatever. And so that can drive up, because some of those costs are 50 cents a minute. And so, again, depending upon the blend of the participants in your calls, I think we'll be okay over the course, certainly of the next several months, that if you have that pace of calls, that's not going to cause Glenn a lot of heartburn. In addition to the cost factor, part of the challenge was just trying to find the right balance between how much the staff can actually support by being on the calls. And I think that Glenn has that right balance now with you all in terms of how that's set up.
Hi, yeah. I'm Glenn, and I don't have any heartburn at all with how you're doing this and what's going on. Any chance we could get the overall cost down by basing this around a VoIP-type solution, maybe a Skype conferencing plus a Skype out capability or something? No. Robin is shaking her head that this has been tried and failed. Some year this will work. If we actually had an internet which worked, where we could actually carry bits reliably.
And that's the challenge. I mean, it's I think certainly because our IT team has really emphasized the use of Skype, we find that it's generally pretty good if it's one person talking to one person. But the moment you start trying to have four or five people on a call, it deteriorates tremendously. And the whole concept of, while Skype claims the ability to record and other things, just having, and in particular, what we, you know, Glenn's preference is to use the Verizon service, which is, you know, a very high end in terms of quality and in terms of people monitoring it. It makes a big difference. So you're not spending the first 15 minutes, are you there? You know, have we dialed out? What's the status? You have the meeting manager where you can see what everyone's status is on the call. When someone decides to put the call on hold and you have the lovely Spanish guitar music or something, you know, they can immediately step in, and that makes a big difference. But you're right. Ultimately, the IT team would love to get there because it all goes down under their budget. And we have challenges and are going to be working with the new finance team to really help us identify what the individual costs are of a lot of these calls, because we don't have that insight. And someone observed over the weekend in the GNSO Council that it would be useful to share with the individual communities what it is costing. Because my observation has been, and others have observed, that if you know the cost, you're going to be more conscious of where you might be able to shave something off here or there, or to find alternatives. And one of the challenges that we've had is just staff liaisons from the policy team is we don't have the technical understanding or insights of the vendor management and things like that. We don't know if cutting one deal with one provider across ICANN is going to save us money, or in saving 10 cents a minute, we're going to reduce quality. So that's something that we're still trying to actively manage and look into.
But you said it averages 15 cents per caller per minute, I think you said.
That was just my operating number assumption, and part of that was through discussions with the at-large. They've been working very hard to try to cost out some of their calls, and the reason why they've had to be much more precise is that, and Wendy, you may have some perspective on this, they would have live translation, and so they would have some real substantial costs associated. And at their point, when you have live interpretation on the calls, the cost per minute of, you know, somebody who's dialing in isn't as big an issue as the $2,000 the call's costing to interpret. But that's a good point. We're going to continue to try to find that information. How am I doing on time? I don't want to. Okay.
It's up to 68.
Well, we have to be careful. You want the trend to sort of stop at about 69 and not continue to go up. We don't want to. We want to watch the others who are more sensitive at the high end. The last menu item is assisting in the conduction of elections of officers, and I think things have gone well in terms of Glenn's support of your guys' efforts. The only twist in terms, and the GNSO secretariat. You know, moving forward, I think one of her concerns was that, my goodness, you know, right now we've got eight different stakeholder groups and constituencies together. If they all ask me at one time to do their elections, how am I going to be able to provide good service? So she just wants to make sure from a process perspective that whoever approaches her going forward really has a firm process. My recollection is that she was pretty happy with how you guys had things set up, but she's going to demand from others who may be less organized to have clear processes so that she doesn't have to reinvent things in 12 different or 8 different ways. So how do you get services? What we are doing is we're working on a checklist. It's been somewhat overtaken by events and presentations this week, but we'll be sharing with the leadership teams of the SGs and the constituencies a checklist, get some feedback from you, and look to get actually a first cut at this sometime next month, where you all share with us what you want for the remainder of FY11. And that may just simply be confirming what you're already getting, but the real critical information will be, and then what you anticipate you want in FY12. As we see this rolling out and continuing on a regular basis, the secretariat's, I almost said Glenn, the secretariat's going to need till at least is going to need some time to take the input and crank it into the upcoming fiscal year's budget process. So our going forward target is to have all information in by the 15th of February, middle of February time frame, so that that can be cranked into the annual budget cycle. And so the ultimate goal will be to have that information in and be able to truly identify it as specific line items in the budget going forward, so that we don't have situations where someone says, oh no, we've had a crisis somewhere else in the organization, and there would be a tendency to take funds away from stakeholder group or constituency support. So that's going to be the process for identifying and for declaring as a stakeholder group or a constituency that you want a service. If there are any circumstances going forward where you need to modify or, you know, say we don't need the service anymore, we're just going to, you know, opt for an email system. We've heard the feedback about various forms and things like that, and are trying to, you know, limit things to email as much as possible. Particularly for something like this, where it's intended to be much more of a back and forth sort of approach. So the next steps will be to finalize the checklist, get that out to all of you for filling out. The real critical element, I think, from an NCSG or NCUC perspective will be to consider what you want to start cranking into your FY Budget 12 comments. There will be a process, as I understand it, and some outreach has already taken place between staff and SO and AC leaders. And this week, those guys are asking you all for, you know, some process for input. And so I think it'll be important as early as possible to get that in. And finally, to the extent that we get back your checklist and see that you've asked about some of those areas where we need additional discussions, we may be coming back and asking you to provide representatives, people to participate on some of these groups to talk about web services, organizational record keeping, the membership database concept. If you're not interested and you don't check it off, then you don't need to be involved in the group. But if there is that interest, you may want to have someone involved. You may even want to consider having someone involved in any case, even though you don't want the service now. Who knows? You might need it or want to have it 2 years from now, and it would be great to have had someone involved in that process in terms of what how it would look or how it should be set up. Any questions? Yes, Robin.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get an idea calendar in my head for when the when the comments would be should be coming in for the next budget year.
I don't know personally, and I don't know if you guys have invited the finance team to stop by this week at all. They're trying to reach out. There may even be a budget process session during this week. I know that they have reached out to individual SO and AC leaders. I would imagine that included input from the SG leaders as well, because I think when Chuck Gomes was invited, he had it expanded, and Avery was at least alerted or may have participated. I think they want some initial feedback sometime in the next couple of months. They constantly are trying to move the process further into, you know, earlier in the process rather than later. So you may want to be thinking about that literally sometime in January.
I was just noting that I see a conversation about operating plan and budget a little bit later in our schedule today.
Yes, that's where you may want to ask about that. Great. Well, thanks for the opportunity to come by. I noticed that it is much warmer on this side of the room now, as in that type of warm. So if you'd like, I'll speak to... Oh, okay. I'll let you guys work that out. I won't get involved in the middle of that.
For air conditioning. Thanks, Rob. Yes, Bill.
Unrelated to constituency support, but just curious. We introduced, I guess it was in Brussels, a motion to have the council meetings webcast, and you'll recall some people complained about what were the costs and why do we need to be doing this and so on. And I haven't heard any update from staff. I was just wondering if you knew, do we have any sense now, like how many people are availing themselves of the opportunity to listen in on council meetings, and is it costing us an arm and a leg. We had all kinds of people saying, you know, it's going to be a technical nightmare and this and the other. So just what was the update on that?
I don't have one, but what I'll do is I'll chat with Glenn and the IT team here this afternoon and tomorrow morning, and as part of my update to the GNSO Council tomorrow afternoon, I'll share that. Great. Thanks for asking.
Rosemary.
Thanks, Robin. And I don't know whether this is appropriate in this session, but we've been discussing outreach activities around the next ICANN meeting. And I know, various board members and other people have been talking about outreach. And so it's a general question, Rob, as to whether there is any opportunity for support for that kind of activity.
I think there will be. One of the challenges, the challenges are multiple. One is that outreach wasn't specifically identified in the toolkit, so we didn't focus on this particular piece. Secondly, there's an ongoing work team effort to identify and make recommendations for outreach, and the council hasn't ruled on that yet, so it was premature for us to come up with how we would implement something that hasn't been decided yet. The third thing, and I think it's, we've certainly experienced it internally, and I think the work team has experienced it somewhat as well, is, well, what is outreach? And so I'm hopeful that, you know, when they finish, and you all as counselors, those of you who are going to be reviewing these recommendations, ultimately is having some clarity. Because for some, I think as I indicated to the GNSO, for some it's, you know, a handout. For others, it's the handout and paying to send someone to a meeting. For others, it's actually conducting other conferences. I think that the organization should be open to all those options, and once the recommendations are reviewed, then identifying in the budget process how that's done. I know that the senior staff is very interested in that. Certainly Barbara Clay, who's now responsible for the entire sort of communications and outreach function, is very interested in ways to do that in a scaled manner. But again, there's ICANN outreach, and then there's NCSG outreach, right? Or there's the outreach for a particular interest group or constituency. And I think once we have a little bit more certainty from a community standpoint in terms of how all those are defined, then we can start talking about, well, how much does it cost? Do we need additional staff? Do we, again, do the grants or that type of funding? I'm not sure.
So do you think that it would be premature to get any kind of support like that for the San Francisco meeting? Because we're planning an event.
I don't think it's premature to ask. The challenge, I think, would be that San Francisco is in the FY11 fiscal year. That might be something you want to chat with at 4 o'clock with respect to the operating plan and budget development process. I think the challenge is with that taking place in the current fiscal year, how that sort of fits. Those of you, and again, Wendy may be able to provide some input from your experience with at large. There have constantly been efforts with respect to the various RALOs in terms of outreach and efforts, and there may be some best practices or experience that they've had that might be useful. I think if, when you say for San Francisco we're planning outreach, if you have some very specific requests, then that helps somebody from the finance side or from the management side to be able to come back and go, oh, we can do that. Oh, but we can't do that. We could do that, but maybe that for the future. And I really liked someone's observation over the weekend, this concept of piloting, you know, a pilot project or an idea here or there, where there's not only that immediate aspect of getting some support, but someone can respond more nicely to, oh, yeah, that's something we might be able to use for the future. We look at this as a study, or this is an experiment, or something. It just provides a little bit more impetus for getting it approved.
I could just make just one final comment. It seems to me that trying to find a way of linking what we're hoping to do with some more broader ICANN activity, it's Rosemary speaking, is a good idea, because having been to a couple of the kind of big ICANN outreach activities, you're kind of left with the problem, well, what do I do next? You know, whereas a big ICANN linked with a stakeholder group or a constituency, you've got a next step built in, because if the people who come to the outreach activity actually find that they are interested in some ongoing relationship with ICANN, then they know a group to go to have that ongoing discussion. So I think a kind of more thought through linking of, you know, what we're trying to do with the you know, bigger ICANN agenda, even as quickly as San Francisco, in maybe in pilot mode, might be a good thing.
I think that's right, because the broader it gets, the less you can really measure was it successful. I think it becomes more cost effective the closer it is to the groups that are looking for the support. But and then you can really be more targeted and perhaps advance things that are less expensive or require fewer resources. But I think that is clearly, particularly in the development of a plan, if someone can see something that's very specific, it helps rather than just say, we'd like some outreach. And with your nodding heads, I think it seems like you're really focused more on that former targeted strategy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. So who do we talk to about getting the temperature turned back down? No.
How about at least maintaining at this?
We're up
and
to
not
72.
Good.
We're at 72, Bill. How high do we have to go?
Can we maintain at 72 or less?
Perhaps I can give them a standing order that every 45 minutes they turn up, then turn it down.
Do I need to fill out a form? Is this an issue in other rooms, or is it just this room that you've been to?
I mean, whenever you get open doors and stuff, I think it is. But you've seen the huge vent back there?
Oh. That explains a lot.
Okay, so next on our agenda, we've got issues that will or should come before the GNSO, and one of the things we were talking about, something we were talking about earlier this morning, and I'm not sure we've really completed that discussion in terms of support of the ALAC statement on Recommendation 6 on morality and public order. So it sounded like we sort of had... heading in the direction of wanting to do a statement on behalf of NCUC or NCSG, depending on how we want to do it, to by and large support the issues that are raised in the ALAC statement and maybe underscore them a little bit, add a little nuance from our perspective to them. And really the only key difference would be the conclusion, which would be to go forward while fixing the problems. So, I'm volunteering to draft the statement. So, if anyone else would like to have some input on that, you know, please let me know. Now, we're going to be meeting with the board, cross community working group on morality and public order, Rec 6, at 3:15. So, I'm actually going to have to step out for that. And I'm also wondering if maybe I shouldn't start drafting until after that meeting, because I don't know, you know, seeing how the discussion goes with the board, maybe we'll know a little better where to focus what we have to say. So I just want to open that up and see what kind of comments you guys had on that.
This is the ALAC?
That's right. This is the ALAC statement on Rec 6.
So you...
On AGB. It's not just on Rec 6.
On AGB. That's right.
It's not just Rec 6.
I think she's right.
What's the other issue? That's because there's the independent objector issue, there's the dispute resolution issue, and there was a third one. What was the third? Maybe I can pull it up here.
anyway, my comment was going to be that I think that there's a further nuance you may want to take account of, and that is they said, we didn't like how you did it. We didn't like the conclusion you came to. And, you know, it's unacceptable. So we're replacing this last clause with, but we think you should move forward trying to fix things. I'm not sure how much people agree with the point that we're making is you did it wrong, which has sort of no fix except to do it better next time, and how much is we think you came to the wrong conclusion.
In the ALAC statement, you mean?
And this comes up because we're sort of concurring with it.
Yes, and I just pulled it up, and the other issue that they talk about is applicant support, so that certainly is broader than just Rec 6.
And if I can answer, I guess even for the independent objector, I guess I think it would be better if we, even if we talk about independent objector, to not confine it to Rec 6, because the independent objector probably has like a broader implication than that. So just in case people on the call, if there's anybody on the call, gets a bit confused. Can I say something? And I guess I need to read the statement again, so I'm trying to find it. I think...
I'll send it to you. I had to dig...
Yeah. So, and I guess I'm with Glenn. I mean, there are nuances to, I guess, how we respond to the statement, how we phrase our statement, not just in the conclusion, but essentially what it is that we're going to say. I think there was at least one comment on our list, and I didn't have an opportunity to respond to the whole list that I feel similarly about, which is that there are things, I may not have expressed it the way it was expressed, and that's fine, as everybody's prerogative. So I would almost prefer that we make our short statement that agrees with the, first of all, I guess the subject matter categories, the three subject matter categories, maybe add in something along the lines of what Glenn's been saying, and then wrap up with our conclusion, rather than endorse the statement. Does that make sense to you?
It does, because the statement is written in a somewhat inflammatory way, which I'm not sure we want to associate ourselves with the way it's written so much as we want to associate ourselves with some of the conclusions that it reached. If that makes any sense at all.
No, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, because we share a lot of the same concerns, but maybe we'd express them a little differently. So, you know, maybe that's the way to go about it. Wendy, did you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, I was also concerned about the tone, that it was almost the opposite of the tone I would want to convey in such a statement, where I would want to say, we think you're so close, here are a few places that you can fix things, and we support the overall program.
I like that approach a lot. Anybody else have any thoughts on that? So should we just wait till this afternoon's meeting with the board on this issue, and then put our heads together via email, or tomorrow in person, and figure, you know, come to some closure on some exact language? And again, I'm happy to prepare the first draft, and y'all can rip it apart and change it around as you like. Is that a plan? Okay. Great. Next, we've got Kathy Kleiman from PIR coming in, but she's not quite here yet. And then she sent me a Skype message saying she'd be a couple minutes late. So should we maybe take our break now, or was there another issue that would or should come before the GNSO that we need to talk about? There's only one listed. Mary, yes.
Are we going to come back and talk about Rec 6 after the Rec 6 meeting, so maybe at 5 o'clock?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. And okay, I'll ask my second question.
Yes, yes.
Then I guess my second question was for Carlos. Have we gotten any sense from the Brazilian reps as to whether they can meet with?
No, I sent them a message, but they have not answered So I suspect I'll try to contact them during coffee break, because, well, I have to excuse myself. I had to left our meeting prior to the lunch because there was this ATRT meeting, so I couldn't contact Alvaro, neither Olivia. So I'll try to get them to see if we can meet after the... Yeah, sure.
Any other issues coming up before the GNSO, or that ought to come up before the GNSO, that we should discuss, add to the list?
Can I use a minute or
please,
two?
Please, we've got time right now.
Excellent.
Dead time. So
as you know, my name is Glenn Reichert, and you're going to get the official representation from PIR here in a few moments from Kathy and others. And Kathy, of course, is a stalwart defender of this constituency and stakeholder group. So you have a friend within PIR, and I am constantly reminded of it. I did want to say that from the PIR board's point of view, and I'll just speak from that point of view because, again, the official view will come from Kathy, that one of the things that PIR tries to do is to run an exemplary registry in not just its business sense but in terms of its business practices, its attitude towards registrants, even though we have registries in the middle of that relationship. And, of course, since the string that we manage is .org, that covers a lot of non-commercial constituencies and other kinds of groups that I think are near and dear to the heart of this team. One of the things that the board has been doing is to do some long-range strategic planning for things that we may want to look at in terms of doing the right thing by registrants and doing the right things toward the constituencies moving forward. So I just wanted to invite anybody who had suggestions to mention it now, to me later, personally, send me an email message, or anyone else actually at PIR, I think would be delighted to hear it. And the main message is now is a good time because we are in our planning cycle for how we will be, what kinds of initiatives we'll be looking for.
Thank you. Yes, it is hot in here. -73 degrees Fahrenheit now. And climbing.